6 this morning. Mark chapter 6. Eventually, we're going to read verses 14 to 29 in Mark chapter 6. Now, you guys know that I love to read. I do. I read all kinds of stuff. I can promise you there's one thing that I never read. I never read celebrity gossip magazines. If you do read celebrity gossip magazines, I'm sorry. Come see me. I will find you some better things to read, okay? But you can't not see them, right? Unless you completely avoid Walmart, they're always there. And so you go in there, and they're right there waiting for you at checkout. You know, Angelina's Revenge, or Look Who's Having Twins, or Blake Finally Proposes, or whatever. I don't even know who half these people are. And every week, it's something new. And I figured out that there's three topics that really move celebrity magazines, okay? Three topics that really move celebrity magazines. One of them is royalty, all right? People love to read about the royals, anything the royals do. We're not even English people, okay? But anything the royals do, you know, Prince William wipes his nose, you know? Kate Middleton takes the kids to the zoo. It's got to be in the magazines, right? And so you see all kinds of stuff there. The second thing that really seems to move magazine is any kind of scandal, okay? Someone gets a divorce, somebody cheats, someone gets caught doing something they shouldn't be doing. That's going to move those magazines. The third thing that really sells magazines is whenever a celebrity dies. So, you know, this year, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain both committed suicide on the same day. It was tragic. Neil Diamond, Aretha Franklin, all these people passed away. And they get their own special issue, right? Because people want to read about this stuff. Now, imagine if there was a story that took place in the convergence of those three things. So, royalty and scandal and celebrity death. It's right there in the middle. It's the sweet spot. It's the holy grail of gossip magazine material, right? That's what our Bible passage is this morning. We're going to read about a celebrity, death, we're going to read about royalty, and we're going to read about a scandal. And there's a bunch of different things that we're going to learn from this little story. So Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. The Bible says, "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it was Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or is one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead.' For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in the prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, 'It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife.' Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, 'Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee.' And he sware unto her, 'Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom.' And she went forth and said unto her mother, 'What shall I ask?' And she said, 'The head of John the Baptist.' And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, 'I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist.' And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Now, last week, I actually skipped this story because it's easy to understand what happened here. It's very straightforward. There's not a lot of mystery in this story. But I was just trying to think of the best way to preach it, because there's a lot of different ways we could take this story and learn from this story. It's really kind of a parenthesis in this passage, because before this, Jesus sends his disciples out to preach, and then right after the story, Jesus is doing more with his disciples. And this whole story here, it's kind of like a parenthesis. It's like, oh, did you hear this happened? Okay? This little bit about Herod and John the Baptist. So what I want to do this morning is I want to talk a little bit about Herod. This is not the same Herod that you read about in the very beginning of the Gospels. That was Herod the Great. This is his son. Mark calls him King Herod. And he was called King Herod by the locals. So the people in Galilee called him King Herod, but that was not actually his title. He really wanted it to be his title. He pestered the Roman government to have that title, but they never gave it to him. So what happened was Herod the Great, who actually was a king, died, and in his death, he divvied up his kingdom between his three living sons. And so Herod, this one, got the middle part of the kingdom. He got Galilee, but he was not given the title of king. And Herod really wanted to be a king. I mean, he really wanted that more than anything. And he pestered the Roman emperor to be allowed to have that title, but they wouldn't give it to him. I mean, he was known as an annoyance to the Roman emperor because of this. And so a lot of people think that Mark here is using this term King Herod ironically and mockingly of this guy. And the people that had read the Bible in the time that it was written would have got that. So think about this guy, though, Herod. Herod had it all. I mean, he really did. He had wealth that most people could only dream of. He had power. He was the leader of a country. He was following in his father's footsteps. He built all these awesome cities and awesome building projects around Palestine. He was completing the building of the temple for the Jews. And early on in his reign, he married a princess from a neighboring country. And after a while, he took his princess with him. He went to visit Rome, where his brother was living. And while he was in Rome, he met his brother's wife. Her name was Herodias. And he actually fell hard for his brother's wife, which is gross. And him and Herodias made secret plans to divorce their partners and get married. So when Herod got back to Palestine, he sent his first wife home, and he married his brother's wife. It actually started a war. The father-in-law was not very happy. He was the king of a neighboring country. He was not very happy about this. And so they actually went to war, and in a sense, Herod lost that war. They lost a lot of men. Herod, it was kind of a mess. But think about it. He had it all. He had armies. He had cities. He had wealth. He had power. He was in the upper echelon of society. And he did what he wanted, even if it meant taking his brother's wife and starting a war. I mean, he was going to do what he wanted to do. And when Herod hears here in this chapter about Jesus, he is terrified. He's terrified because his conscience is bothering him, because of something he's done. Now think about it. This guy's got his own country. This guy has his own army. This guy, we'll see in a second, he lives in an impregnable fortress. He's got a dungeon underneath. I mean, he lives on top of a mountain like some kind of James Bond villain or something. I mean, he's got it all, and yet he's scared. He's terrified when he hears about Jesus. Now, why? Well, he's afraid. He's not afraid of the Roman emperor. He's not afraid to go to war for his brother's ex-wife, but he's afraid. Look at verse 16. It says, "But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John.'" I beheaded. He's risen from the dead. See, this great man, as far as the world was concerned, was terrified of another kind of great man. He was terrified of John the Baptist. And even though Herod had been the one that killed John the Baptist, he was scared. There was some power in John that scared Herod so much, he thought that John was going to come back to life and kill him and get him. Now, there's a couple lessons, a bunch of lessons we could take from this story. We could go in all different kinds of directions. And I'm going to kind of go in three different directions this morning. I try to usually keep it in one track this morning. This is going to be like scattershot, all right, all over the place. But I'm going to give you 3 points this morning that sort of jumped out to me as I looked at this story and thought about this story for 2 weeks now. And hopefully we receive it well. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us as we look at this story this morning and think about how we can apply it to our life, to have open hearts and open ears, Lord. I pray that you'll give me power as I preach and give everybody listening ears this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to give you three things that sort of jumped out to me about this story. And the first application that I thought of as I read this story was this: be really careful about following your heart, okay? Especially when your heart leads you into sin. You know, one of the great things that that society tells us all the time, I mean, it's like canonized in Hallmark cards forever, right? This idea of following your heart. Now, some people say if it feels right, do it. And I think, you know, sometimes people are talking about chasing dreams, chasing goals, and that can be a good thing, okay? But if you take it to mean that the only thing that matters in our life is our happiness, and if something would make you happy in the moment, you should do it, that is terrible, terrible advice. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And yet the world says, follow your heart. And that's what Herod did here. Herod was definitely what they called back then an Epicurean. He was someone that believed that the most important thing in life was for him to make himself happy in the moment all the time. Even if that meant taking something that didn't belong to him, like his brother's wife, he went for it, even though he was married. Even though she was married, even though it would cause lots of problems, and it did. It even caused a war. He didn't care. He had to have what he thought would make him happy in the moment. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, oh, you know, I did that because it made me happy. Isn't it right for me to be happy? You know, sad. Proverbs chapter 5. I've been reading Proverbs in my devotions, as part of my devotions lately, and there's several warnings in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 to 6. This is really one of the first warnings that Solomon gave his son. He said, for the lips of a strange woman, and strange here means not yours. It does not mean strange as in like weirdo, okay? The lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. So Solomon's warning his son, last week I told you that Proverbs is like a book about how to stay off dead-end streets, right?